Yes, I am super nervous. I'm sorry. here I am again. It was about a year ago that I stood up here and talked about obedience. And ever since that day, I have been truly humbled by God's blessings. That career change that I have been praying for several years finally came. And again, I'm so blessed in my new job and the people I'm meeting there. Serving in women's ministry with the women I serve with and I serve for has been I have no words to describe what a blessing it has been in my life. So, you know, life we thought was settling into a nice routine, but something Pastor Darren said in one of his sermons a couple of years ago, and I probably should have someone cross-stitch this for me so I can hang it on a wall or put it on a pillow or something, because what he said is when we are obedient to God's calling for us, he will bless us with calling us to do more. I got to tell you, that is the truth. As most of you know, the past year, he also led my husband down a path we weren't quite sure where it was going to end. My trust was really tested when Kevin told me one night that we were moving. This is what God told him we had to do, and he didn't know where it was, and it may mean that we have to be homeless for a little while. And I have to admit, there were moments when I were a little worried. But we knew we were following where God wanted us to go. We were being obedient. And he has more than blessed us since then. So here I am again, because he's called me to do it again. So one night I was feeling just a little restless. Nothing really specifically on my heart or my mind. So I just picked up my Bible. I didn't have a particular verse or book or anything in mind. I just open it and just to stare to see where God would lead me. And the book before me was Philemon. And I said, Philemon, I expected to hear some kind of like reggae music going on or something. But for those of you who know better than know that I just did not pronounce that correctly, I did a little research and realized it's actually pronounced Philemon. That didn't quite sound as intriguing to me, but God led me there. So I figured that, I better read it and see what he had in store. Now, this book in the Bible does not even take up a whole page. It's like 3/4 of a page. It's very, very short. And as I'm reading it, I realize that it is more about Paul, and it's about forgiveness. And as I reflected and I prayed over this, I was trying to figure out who God wanted me to forgive. And if anybody knows me, even I'm not going to say I never get angry or get upset or hurt by someone, but I have a hard time holding a grudge over anyone. I can't do it. It's not in my nature. I guess I'm really lucky that God blessed me that way. So, but then I got to thinking maybe there's someone out there that I need to be seeking their forgiveness. That one really had me stumped. I couldn't think of anyone. And so I continued to pray over this and think about it for several weeks. And one morning I was driving to work and God and I are having one of our talks. And I'm asking, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me with this? What do I need to do? Who do I need to forgive or who needs to forgive me? And you know, he might as well have been sitting in the seat of the passenger seat when I heard him say, you know, it's not always about you, Lynn. I don't understand that. Why is it not always about me? It was at this point where he just said, I just want you to share a message on forgiveness. So before I read to you from Philemon, I want to tell you something. Paul has become my hero. I mean, I seriously would like to be a Paul when I grow up. Paul started out as the ultimate hater. I mean, he slaughtered Christians because he hated them so much. But then he got to have the most amazing come to Jesus meeting ever. I mean, I have heard, and I know you all have heard some amazing testimonies and have amazing testimonies of your own. But nothing compares to Paul's testimony and what he went through when he became a Christian. I mean, he was so changed by the experience. I mean, he even changed his name. You know, went from Saul to Paul. I realize I'm taking a few liberties here. There's more to the story than that. But you all know what I mean. Paul went on to do some really amazing things. He was even imprisoned for his beliefs. But he still held on to his faith and his love for Jesus Christ. And he continued to bring others alongside him to be disciples. So I will read to you Philemon, verses 4:18. See, it doesn't sound as good, does it? Philemon, I like that better. Anyway, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. This is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus, and I'm probably going to mispronounce that several times. I became his father in the faith while we're here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. One of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us is the forgiveness of our sins. I don't know about you, but I know that I have been on my knees many, many times repenting and begging for his forgiveness. I've also had to go to my family, my children, my husband, my friends, and beg for forgiveness at times too. We sing songs of praise for God's grace over us, but why is it so hard for us to extend grace to others? The very first thing that stood out to me when I read Philemon is here's Paul sitting in prison, writing letters asking for forgiveness, but not for himself. He's not asking for help to free him. He is asking for Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Onesimus was believed to have been a runaway slave that belonged to Philemon. And in that time, that was an unforgivable sin to leave your master that way. It could often mean death if they did return or if they were found. But Paul points out that they're no longer master and slave, but are now brothers in Christ. We live in a time where it has become acceptable to blame or transfer liability to others. Every time you turn around, you hear frivolous lawsuits, or when we feel angry or hurt, we use social media to vent our hurt and to crusade against those that hurt us. And I want to make it clear, I am not pointing fingers at anyone because I have been extremely guilty of doing this myself. But what we forget about is the healing properties of forgiveness. When we decide not to forgive a transgression, it gives that person who hurt us power over us. If the person is not remorseful and the act was deliberate, it does make it difficult to show grace to them. The same can be said when we withhold forgiveness from someone who is truly sorry for the pain they caused. When we decide not to forgive them, we hold that power over them. because we know we're continuing to hurt them the same way they hurt us. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins seven times against you in a day, and seven times comes back to you, and say, 'I repent,' forgive him." Paul even tells Philemon that he could demand that he forgive him. Paul isn't saying this because he has control over him. He is saying this because God commands it. And as Christians, we experience God's love through his grace. And he expects us to extend his love by showing grace to others. Many of you here have heard or me talk about my sister Lisa in the past. And one of the things that while I was working through this and praying over it and everything, she came to mind, as she often does when it comes to forgiveness. I loved my sister. I love my sister. But I didn't always like her. I sometimes think that is why I have a hard time still dealing with her passing. I think there were maybe too many things left unresolved between us. For a long time after she passed away, I would just have days where I was just consumed with grief. And one of the things that bothered me the most was I was unsure if she knew that I forgave her. But as I continue to work on this today, I know she knows I forgave her. But what I don't know is, did she forgive me? I never asked for her forgiveness for my own behavior over the years. Most days I do believe she did, but on those days that I'm missing her the most, I have my doubt. I know someday I'll know. So, with that, I'd like to share with you three benefits of forgiveness. One is physical. There have been many studies over the years that all came to similar conclusions about when we show forgiveness to those who have hurt us. It's been linked to lowering blood pressure. It's been reducing stress and anxiety in your life. You sleep better. I know for myself, and I'm sure for many of you, there's spent many a sleepless night just laying there, just thinking about the wrong someone did you, and it depriving you of that sleep, and then you just keep going over and over it in your mind. And all that does is just continue to raise your blood pressure and cause more stress. The second is emotional. It gets you out, when you forgive, it gets you out of that angry, bitter mode. Kevin and I have a friend that many years ago was told us of how he used to deal with road rage, and how angry he would get when he would cut someone off in traffic, or they would cut him off in traffic, I should say, or they'd pull out in front of him and drive really slow. And he said it was an uncontrollable rage. And one of the ways he learned to deal with that is that he started praying for that person. Whenever it happened and he started feeling that anger rising in him, he would pray for them. And it works. I've learned to do that as well over time. It can strengthen your relationship with that person. I have a childhood friend. Her name is Charlotte. And we were best friends all during most of our high school years. And we were inseparable. If I wasn't at her house, she was at my house. And we were partners in crime. And there was, we weren't always the best children, but we had fun. Then during about halfway through our high school years, we had a falling out of what most high school girls have a falling out over, and that is a boy. Charlotte and I didn't see each other for, I would say probably 25 years. No contact whatsoever. And then one day I saw that she was a friend of mine on Facebook. And so I reached out and I sent her a friend request. And she accepted it with the note saying, "I thought you would never forgive me." Since that time, I've only seen Charlotte a couple of times. That was probably, 7 or 8 years ago that happened. She's 2,500 miles away, and I know I can pick up the phone and she's there for me. When my sister passed away, she drove 2 hours to be at the hospital where I was to sit with me. When we were having my sister's memorial service, Charlotte was there. Now, Charlotte did something that day when she walked in that I thought for a moment might be an unforgivable statement, but it only showed how well she really knew me. And that was, she gave me the biggest hug, and she whispered in my ear, she said, "I know you and Lisa have always been very competitive, but I have to be the one to tell you she won." And my heart stopped. I was like, how could she say this to me in the middle of my grief? And I drew back and I looked at her, and she goes, "She made it to heaven before you. She won." I'll give her that. The third benefit of forgiveness is spiritual. I think for most of us, the thing we are most grateful for is God's forgiveness. I know that I am. God sent His Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven. It just doesn't get any better than that. In Luke 17, verse 4, which is part of the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew 6:14. For if you give other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice that goes back to our emotional state, right? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You know, in short, God tells us to forgive. I could go on and on, because there's tons of scripture in the Bible that commands us to forgive. Just as Paul told Philemon that he could command it, God wants us to do it willingly. One of the things to remember is the person who needs forgiveness is also a child of God. He loves them just as much as He loves you and I. When we look back at Paul's request to Philemon, we see that he acknowledges that he understands that Onesimus did the unthinkable as a slave. But he also points out that although he was once useful to him as a servant, he will be more useful to him now that they are brothers in Christ. He even goes on to say that there's a debt. If there's a debt to be paid, He will pay it. Doesn't that sound familiar? Christ didn't pay the ultimate price just for me or just for you. He paid it for all of us. So how can we not forgive those who have hurt us? I know some of that hurt goes deep. I get it. One definition I run across of forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is the act of consciously deciding to let go of resentment or vengeance. But we also know that forgiving doesn't mean excusing hurtful behavior. When we ask God for forgiveness, He gives it. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to face the consequences for our actions. The same is true when we forgive someone who has hurt or wronged us. Doesn't excuse their behavior make it okay, but it can lead them to asking God for forgiveness when they see it in us. the forgiveness is first for you. It will release you from something that will eat you alive and destroy your ability to love. Here's an illustration that I found. This was a story submitted by the president of Prison Fellowship Ministry in Washington. It's older. It's an older story, so I don't know how it turned out, but I found it very interesting. The man I ate dinner with tonight killed my brother. The words spoken by a stylish woman at Prison Fellowship Banquet in Seattle amazed me. She told how John H. had murdered her brother during a robbery, served 18 years at Walla Walla, then settled into a life on a dairy farm where she had met him in 1983, 20 years after his crime. Compelled by Christ's command to forgive, Ruth Youngsman had gone to her enemy and pronounced forgiveness. Then she had taken him to her father's deathbed, prompting reconciliation. Some wouldn't call this a success story. John didn't dedicate his life to Christ, but at that PF banquet last fall, his voice cracked as he said, "Christians are the only people I know that you can kill their son and they'll make you part of their family. I don't know the man upstairs, but he sure is hounding me." John's story is unfinished. He hasn't accepted Christ, but just as Christ died for us regardless of our actions or acceptance, so Ruth forgave him without qualification. Even more so, she became his friend. I know this is easier said than done, but we start by giving it to God. And how do you begin? With prayer. Pray for the strength and guidance you need. Pray for healing for the hurt. Pray for that person. Forgiveness will bring healing and hopefully shine your light to that person who hurt you so that you can shine God's love to them. After all, isn't that what He's called us to do? I would like to ask at this time that you just lower your head for a moment, and maybe if there's someone in your life that you need to forgive or that needs your forgiveness, that you just lift up their name to God and just give it to Him. Our Heavenly Father, we lift these names of those who we forgive and those who need forgiveness. We ask that you take away our pain, that hurt that consumes and sometimes even controls us. We are so thankful, Lord, for the forgiveness that you have given us. We are all in need of your grace, Lord. Show us how. Show us how to give that grace and love so others might see your light in us. We know that sometimes a simple act of forgiveness can restore a friendship, a marriage, even a family. Help us, Lord, to walk in the faith like Paul and to be a disciple to all. In the name of your glorious Son, amen.